My friends, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. We're reading two texts tonight from 2 Samuel chapter 7 and from Luke chapter 1, the readings from this evening, and just a short portion of those readings to share with you again. From 2 Samuel chapter 7, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And then from Luke chapter 1, the Annunciation to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is God's word. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, David and Mary, not exactly what you would call the, you know, the high-born of this world. It's because David became probably one of the most famous characters in all the Bible and Israel's greatest king. It's easy to forget how lowly his origins were. Remember, and God said it here in our reading tonight, God had picked David from following sheep, is what it says. Picked him up from the filth of the field where he was with the sheep all the time, smelled like sheep. David was this bratty little brother that no one thought would amount to much of anything. The little one in the family on whom the rest of the family dumped the least desirable chores. David was a nothing. And Mary? She was practically the definition of a nothing and a nobody. From a no-name backwater town, a mere youth from a lowly and humble family that had little to call its own, Mary also was a nothing. Neither of them had a lot of skills to speak of. They certainly did not have power. They did not have a lot of money. They did not have reputation and fame. There was nothing that they had done to win the favor of God or to be chosen by God, which just goes to show you that God is not at all like us. You see, our God serves the lowly, and he exalts them, and by his grace, he makes something out of nothing. And so it was with David. David, you did not make yourself a king, the Lord would say to him. We heard echoes of this in our reading tonight. It was not anything you about you. It was not your good heart. It was not your faith. It was not your works. It was not your decisions. It was not your ruddy good looks or anything about you. It was not your political networking. It was not your fundraising prowess. Nothing about you that made you my choice to be the king. David, I am the king, and it was out of my heart and by my works that you became king of Israel. It was by my royal decree. Not by your might, David, by my royal decree, that your enemies were cut off from before you and that your name became so great. It is by my work that I gave you rest from all of your surrounding enemies. And it is my decree that from your body, from your royal family line, will come forth a king who will reign eternally upon your throne. David, you were the lowest of the low, but I served you to exalt you, and I made you great. Same thing with Mary. How will this be, she asks, since I am a virgin? And the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. I chose you, Mary. I chose you, not because you are more faithful than other women, or more pure, or more talented, not because you are more beautiful or more honorable, Mary. You're not. I chose you because I am the king who makes something out of nothing. Out of the low, I exalt them, and by my grace, and I make them great. I am the king who rules by giving instead of demanding, by serving to exalt you instead of demanding that you serve and exalt me. I am the king who exalts the humble and brings down the mighty. Mary, you were the lowest of the low, but I served you to exalt you, and I made you great. Now, of course, that's all backwards and upside down from our usual expectations of kings in this world who expect to be served and expect their people to exalt them. Why should a king serve his subjects and exalt his subjects when it should be the other way around? Well, this seems to have been part of David's thinking when he looked around at this gorgeous house that he was living in, this palace that he had built for himself, made of cedar. And it bothered him that the Lord, God Almighty, enthroned upon the Ark of the Covenant, was still dwelling in a tent, in a tabernacle. And so David had a thought. What can I do for you, Lord? Can I serve you by building you a decent house, a temple that you can dwell in? Lord, what can I do to exalt you? And then that's when the Lord surprised David with his answer through Nathan. He said, No, David, you do not serve me and make a house for me. I will serve you and I will make you a house. Not a house of stone and wood, but I will make of you a royal house, an exalted dynasty, from which one day your greater son will sit upon your throne forever. David, I myself will become a part of your family. I am going to join your family tree as your son. You will call me Father. I will call you Father, and you will call me Lord. And David was just amazed at this. David learned that it was the king, not he, who is doing the serving and the exalting. And perhaps that was also some of Mary's thinking when the angel announced to her that she was going to be the mother of the Christ. And she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Notice she says, I am the servant. And that's great, right? As a servant, Mary wanted to do things for her king. She wanted her king to be exalted and thought, this is something I can do for him and be the mother of his son. But then after reflecting on all of that, and then going off to the home of Elizabeth, her elderly aunt, who was pregnant now with John the Baptist for six months. After all of that, perhaps it finally dawned on her what was really happening here. God was saying to Mary, Mary, it's great that you want to serve me, but above all, I am serving you. I myself, I will be part of your family. I am going to join your family tree, and I will call you mother, and you will call me Savior. And all generations will call you blessed, and you shall be great. And Mary learned that it was the king, not she, who was doing the real serving and was exalting her. And that is reflected in Mary's song, isn't it? In the Magnificat, when she says, "He looked upon my humble estate, and the Mighty One has done great things for me." Notice, I did not do great things for him. He did great things for me. He chose me. He exalted me. He gave me grace. And so David and Mary both learn that God, our God, is not like any other king who demands to be served and to have his subjects exalt him and fight for him and die for him. But the King of Heaven insists that he will first serve us, and he will honor us, and he will fight for us, and he will die for us, and rise for us, and thus he will exalt us. He takes lowly, no-name people like me and you, and he exalts us, and he makes us princes in his royal family and heirs of his eternal kingdom. Because that's what it all comes down to, isn't it? It all comes down to you and to me. It was for us that he was born. And look at us, look at you, look at me. We're not exactly the highborn of this world either, are we? We certainly don't deserve to have a king serving us and exalting us. And yet this highest and most holy king looked upon our lowly estate as he did with Mary, and he came to us in the flesh of a humble infant and even put himself beneath us to serve us, honor us, fight for us, die for us, rise for us, exalt us by his grace. No, he is not your son in the same sense that he was David's son and Mary's son, but he made himself your brother, and he joined our human family to make us members of his family, to exalt us and make us princes, a royal priesthood, to reign with him forever. Times in life, maybe you feel like a nobody from nowhere, but it's not true. Do not listen to that lie. God made you a prince, not a princess, and an heir of his kingdom. He is with you to cut off all your enemies from before you. Most of all, to cut off sin and death and the devil so that they cannot harm you. And he has joined his name to your name in holy baptism, and he has made your name great. The King of all kings knows your name. That's how great you are. The promises that we read about tonight for David, promises that were fulfilled in the womb of Mary, are also spoken to us. Even as Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary, he has been born into your heart by the word of God and that was proclaimed to you. Like David, you have been chosen from among the lowest of the low to be great in the kingdom of God and to be exalted and lifted up. Like Mary, you have found favor with God, not because you are so great, but because he's so great. And now you have been exalted to be the bearer of Christ. Mary bore the Christ in her womb, but you bear the Christ in your life. You bear his name. You bear his righteousness. You bear his inheritance. You bear his gospel. You are the bearer of Christ. And of course, we're not worthy of these things, but that did not stop the Lord, for this was his entire plan, to exalt us, serve us. God is not like us. He serves us to exalt the low, and by his grace, he makes something out of nothing. And so what does it mean? It means that when you face trouble tomorrow, or if Christmas isn't everything you wanted it to be this year, or you're lonely, or whatever, that your King is still with you. He's still in charge, and all things are going to work out for your good. That's his promise. It means that when things do not look as if they are going well for you, your King is still governing all things for you and making your path straight. And it means that when God feels far away from you, you do not have to work harder to try to bring him closer, to try to lure him in. Because as he says, he is already near to all who call upon him. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. And say with Mary then, let it be to me according to your word. And then we will sing Mary's song, and we'll make that song our own. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring, forever. This is our song, just as it was Mary's song and David's song too. It's our song because God is not like us. He is the King who comes to us and humbles himself that he might exalt us in the forgiveness of our sins and in the gift of eternal life, and to make something out of nothing, and out of the lowly, by his grace, to lift them up to the kingdom of God forever. It is he who has made us to be his people in Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.